protecting the integrity of children and helping your child to be holy. Okay, so it's going to be a wonderful topic today, and I do want to talk about this very important role that you have as parents, not only to become saints yourselves, but also to raise your children to become saints. And so our topic today is really how to form your child to become a saint. So it's shaping your child's soul. And as you know, children are so beautiful, so innocent. We must do everything to protect their innocence and their dignity as children of God. And children can sometimes say things that are very innocent, but they speak the truth, don't they? The grandfather came over for dinner, and the grandson said, "Grandpa, can you do your frog imitation?" And grandpa says, "What do you mean?" And he says, "Well, Mom says, I heard Mom say, when you croak, we'll all be rich." So kids can say things. Obviously, they're very innocent and very special. So we want to talk today about how to raise your children to become saints. And also your grandchildren, too, because that's one of your roles as grandparents, is to help your grandchildren to become saints as well. So I want to give you is 7 ideas today, 7 words. And the easy way for me to remember it is to use an acrostic tool. So since the idea is to help form your child's soul spiritually, to help shape them, I use the word shaping your child's soul to give you 1 idea for every letter in that word. Of course, the S in shaping stands for sanctity. So your goal in life is to become a saint and to help your spouse to become a saint and your children and grandchildren to become a saint as well. That has to be your goal. That has to be your burning desire. So the best thing you can do for your kids is to become holy yourself, to become closer to God yourself. That's the very best thing you can do for your children. As you know, in the airports, on the airplane, they say if the cabin pressure changes, put on your own mask first and then help your children put on theirs. Very important idea that the Lord wants us to become holy, and if we are faithful to our vocation, then others will grow in holiness as well. So your job as parents is to become a saint. And when you do this, your example will be so powerful. And we should realize that when you're trying to help others, don't push them, but pull them. Draw them to the Lord through a life of holiness, through a life of prayer. So that will attract the children to become saints as well. That's the very best thing you can do for your children, is to grow in holiness yourself. The second letter in the word shaping of your child's soul is H, and that stands for honor. Honor, respect, reverence for the dignity of the child. Did you ever notice that honor is at the basis of all the 10 commandments? Not only honor the Lord's day, honor the Lord's name, honor your parents, honor the sanctity of life, honor the sanctity of marriage, honor the sanctity of other people's property, and honor truth. So the basis of all 10 commandments is honor. So if you want a happy marriage, if you want a happy family, make sure there's always honor within that family. Honoring your spouse, honoring your children. Pope John Paul II wrote a great deal about the dignity of the human person, especially the dignity of children made in God's image and likeness. And the Lord said this so often, that unless we change and become like little children, we cannot enter the kingdom of God. So we must respect the incredible dignity of children. And think of the attitude that Our Lady and St. Joseph had to the Christ child. Think of the respect, the honor that they gave to Christ. And that's the respect and honor you should show to a child, because they are so pure, so holy in the eyes of God. And so our job is to always respect and honor their dignity as sons and daughters of God. So I would recommend, of course, the writings of Pope John Paul II on the dignity of the human person. Also the writings of Maria Montessori, a great Catholic educator and teacher. She wrote so much about the holiness the sanctity and the honor that we should show towards children. The third ingredient in shaping your child's soul and helping them to become a saint is to get them involved in the apostolate. And that's the next letter is A for the apostolate. Teach them to become apostles. Father Faber once said that if you don't try to convert the world will convert you. So don't let your children get sucked in by all the influences of the world. Get them to try to convert the world to Christ, to bring the world to holiness. So get them involved in an apostolate. Get them evangelizing. Because if they're active and spreading their faith, then they'll be much more committed to their faith. Look at how the Mormons go around. Everyone does a 2-year evangelization. It strengthens their commitment to their religion, to their faith. Imagine if our young people could also be involved in evangelization, of going out and trying to spread their faith. See, if you're spreading your faith to other people, then you will not lose your faith. Try to get your kids involved in service, in some sort of spiritual formation program that includes things like visiting the nursing home, visiting the homebound, the shut-ins, teach them how to make rosaries. Since I was 10 years old, I've been involved in the Legion of Mary here now, 34 years now as a member of the Legion of Mary. And that's been such a great blessing. Even when I was 10 years old, going to the nursing homes, visiting the homebound, going to families with newly baptized babies, giving miraculous medals to other kids. That can help a great deal in keeping your children Catholic and helping them to become the saint God wants them to be. So keep in mind different organizations, different prayer groups like the Junior Legion of Mary. Get them involved in these things. To try to get them to become not just Catholic children, but apostolic children, to spread the faith to others. The best way to keep them practicing their own faith is getting them to evangelize and share it with others. The next letter, the fourth idea, is letter is P, and that stands for protect. Protect your children's innocence. Safeguard their innocence. And also promote good, holy Catholic things that can strengthen them against all the evil influences of our society. So protect them from the evil influences. And we know that in the culture in which we live in a neo-pagan culture. We don't live in a Christian culture. You have to realize that and admit that we're living in a secularized, humanistic, hedonistic culture. So what can you do to protect your children from this evil onslaught that comes through the media primarily, through television, movies, internet, music, things like that? These are the ways in which the child's innocence can be destroyed. There was an article actually written by Peter Kreeft, a great teacher at Boston College, a great theologian. He wrote an article back in 1992, and he talked about how the media is not our friend. And this is 15 years ago. So in this study, 15 years ago, he said that, compare the media to the general population of the United States. He said that 55% of the population attended church on a regular basis. This was 1992, but only 9% of the media attended the church on a regular basis. Okay? So that's a very telling, right? The 55% of Americans are church-going people. Only 9% of the media, church-going people. Back in 1992, 82% of Americans said that abortion was wrong, that they said it was wrong, but only 3% of the media believed that abortion was wrong. You notice, see how this is happening, right? The media, the one who's putting out all this information, and yet the average American, most of them, if you ask them, you think abortion is a good thing or a bad thing, 82% back in 1992 said abortion is a wrong thing, it's not a good thing. But only 3% of the media would say that. Back in 1992, 95% of Americans, when polled, said adultery was wrong. But only 50% of the media considered it wrong. And this is the ones, these are the ones that are putting out the TV shows and the movies. And so this is where the influence is coming from in today's society. So your job, of course, as parents and grandparents, is to protect and safeguard your child's innocence. To be very careful. First, be aware that the media is a wolf in sheep's clothing, or a wolf in wolf's clothing, right? They're not even trying to hide it anymore. They're very anti-Catholic, very anti-Christian. So your job is to protect your children from these external influences, and then try to promote good Catholic culture. Try to promote beautiful Catholic music, beautiful art, good literature, good TV shows, good wholesome movies, good DVDs, and there are some out there. And I asked a lot of the moms in my parish, you know, what would you recommend? And a lot of them recommended the writings of C.S. Lewis, things like the Chronicles of Narnia. They recommended the writings of Tolkien, The Hobbit, The Lord of the Rings, that contain many Christian and Catholic themes. Of course, first and foremost, the sacred scripture, the Bible, getting a good child, a good children's Bible, getting them the entire book of the writings of the lives of the saints, Father Lavasic series of the saints. Also, Mary Fabian Windeatt's books on the saints are very good for teenagers. And then as far as videos and movies, the ones by the CCC ones with St. Francis, St. Bernadette, those are a wonderful series of videos. Other moms recommended the Song of Bernadette, the Ten Commandments, the Life of St. Francis, the Story of Fatima, Boys Town. These are very good, wholesome things that can promote your child's faith and to help them to be influenced in the right way. Okay, the fifth ingredient for helping your child to become holy is the letter I, and that stands for influence. The influences that are out there in society and how you can be a greater influence with your kids and your grandkids. Again, this was a very interesting study, and this is important to write down because this is what influenced kids back in the 50s and what the influence on the kids today is. Back in the 1950s, the number one influence on children were parents and family. Number two was the school. And back then, obviously, many Catholic schools. The school was number two. Number three was their church, their parish. The relationship with the sisters that taught or the priest in the parish. Number four was friends. Friends had the fourth most influence on kids back in the 1950s. And number five was the media. Number five was the media. In the recent study, what I heard now, year 2007, within the last couple of years, the number one influence on kids today is their friends. Okay, so that's how important it is to understand who are the kids hanging around with and what influence are their friends having on your kids. Number two now is the media. They move from number five to number two. And you certainly see this with the movies, the TV, the music. All these things are so influential now in the life of kids and when you're trying to raise them in our society. Number three now is parents and family. So sadly, for the general population, parents are now behind the media in their influence upon kids. And number four is now their school, teachers at school, and number five is their church, their parish. So how do we combat this? Well, we are up against a difficult situation. How do you go from being number three in their lives of influence up to number one? Well, primarily it's spending more time with the kids. Kids spell love, T-I-M-E. To spend as much time as you can with the kids. Make sure that your influence over them is greater than the media's and their friends, primarily by your relationship with them, right? Helping them to have a good relationship with you. So the importance of parents, of getting the grandparents involved in passing on the faith to the kids. And what about godparents? Hopefully you've chosen good godparents for your kids. Try to get them in the picture. They should be helping as well, right? They should be praying every day for their godchildren. They should be helping you. Maybe every year send their godchild a religious card or give them a religious gift every year on the anniversary of their baptism. Try to get other families, when there's other families that would be a good influence, hang out with other good Catholic families that you can have them influence your kids. Good coaches or teachers, religious sisters, priests, youth ministers. See that all these things can help you to have more influence on your kids than society has on them. And the last two letters in shaping your child's soul, N is for nature and G is for grace. St. Thomas Aquinas says, grace builds on nature. So what can you do in the natural order to help your children to become saints, to protect them, to help them realize their integrity, their dignity as a child of God? Well, in the order of nature, and since grace builds upon nature, you want them to develop good habits. Good habits. Remember, good habits are hard to form, but make your life so much better, so much easier. Bad habits are easy to form, but make your life miserable. So again, good habits of order, good habits of virtue. The natural virtues that should be promoted are things like kindness, generosity. Encourage your children to be generous. When you give them their allowance, let's say if you, when they're young, you give them a dollar, let's say. Well, give it to them with 10 dimes instead of a dollar. And get those 10 dimes and tell them, you know, the first one they should give to God, to charity, right? And then they should put two of them aside to save, and then they can spend the rest. So the idea that 70-20-10 rule is a good idea. The importance of getting the children to be generous to God, to begin tithing at a young age, can help them a great deal. Because if they don't develop their, their discipline now, when they get more money, they get these teenagers or young adults, they get more and more money, then they don't spend it wisely. And we see this so often in adults, right? They run up huge credit card bills and things, and then they have to have plastic surgery when they get their credit card taken away, right? Plastic surgery. So make sure that that's what some wives, what some husbands want to do that to their wife, give them plastic surgery, take away the credit card. But the importance of forming these qualities early, of discipline, self-discipline. And as you know, discipline is doing what you know you should do, when you should do it, whether you feel like it or not. And that's the root of all success, whether it be an Olympic athlete or doing anything in life. If you need self-discipline, the ability to do what you know you should do, when you should do it, whether you feel like it or not. To teach the children early, to be generous, to have cooperation, responsibility, obedience, forgiveness, respect. See, these are all the natural virtues that the Lord wants us to have so He can build His supernatural virtues upon them. And then also in the order of nature, try to make your house a place of peace, love, and joy. Try to be a peacemaker within the home. Try not to be a disruptive force within the home, but try to be the one to bring God's love, peace, and joy into the home. Try to give your kids hugs and affection. As you know, one Christian author said that kids need 4 hugs a day for survival, 8 hugs a day for well-being, and 12 hugs a day for emotional growth. So do a little evaluation. Are you giving your kids good, wholesome affection and tenderness and acceptance? Your kids are craving for acceptance. Kids are craving to feel valued, to feel worthwhile. And if they don't get that from you, they'll look for it outside the home. So make sure you give them this good Christian affirmation, this blessing. Many of you have read the book by Gary Smalley called The Blessing, how children need that blessing from their parents and from their grandparents. And this blessing is acceptance. It's a deep-rooted Christian affirmation of them as a child of God. See, if you don't give them that, then they will look for it in other ways, through gangs or through bad influences. Well, then lastly, the G stands for grace. Because remember, you have the order of nature, where you have the natural virtues, but then you have the order of grace. And this would be the trying to develop the cardinal virtues, prudence, justice, temperance, and fortitude, and faith, hope, and charity, the supernatural virtues. When you're dealing with parenting and God's grace, the best thing you can do is to pray for your child. See, where do you get grace from? You get grace from prayer. So do you pray for your children every day? Do you offer your Holy Communion for them every Sunday or every day? You know, every time you go to Mass, you should offer your communion for a special intention. And I'd recommend offering it as one intention for your kids and your grandkids. Because really, when I've talked to parents, they say, Father, when it comes to parenting, everything is grace. You know, we can't do it on our own. We need God's help. We need God's grace. So where do you get grace from? You get grace from prayer, from the sacraments, and also, of course, from making use of the sacramentals of the Church. So the sacraments. First and foremost is baptism. Try to have the child's baptism as early as possible. Make sure your grandkids are baptized right away. Don't let them wait until the child gets older. Make sure they baptize the kids and get the kids baptized as soon as possible. Because you want your child to have grace within his or her soul. You want the child to be filled with the grace of God, the sanctifying grace of the indwelling of the Blessed Trinity. And then help your child to prepare well for first confession. Help them to examine their conscience. Walk them through the Ten Commandments and the examination of conscience. Help form their conscience. One of the best things you can do for your child is to teach them what is right and wrong. Then once they make their first confession, take them to confession on a regular basis, especially when they're teenagers. Even if they don't want to go, say, you know, this is our monthly confession, let's go as a family. So you take them to confession once a month. Parents have noticed that after they take their kids to confession, they're much more helpful and agreeable and peaceful in the home. So if you're having troubles with some of the kids or the teenagers, how often are you taking them to confession? Regular confession can help a great deal. And then frequent Holy Communion. Help the kids receive the Lord as often as possible. Because again, it's a matter of grace, trying to get as much grace in the life of your child as you can. And then help them prepare well for confirmation. But to pick a good saint that they can emulate and have as a role model. But confirmation can be a powerful, transforming sacrament in the lives of the teenagers. Remember to teach the kids that the inner, invisible realities are much more important than the visible realities of our faith. For example, in baptism, all you see is water being poured over a child. And yet, invisibly, what's happening is that child is transformed into a child of God. That child receives the indwelling of the Blessed Trinity. In confession, all you see is, you know, the priest saying the words of absolution and making the sign of the cross. But invisibly, the fathers of the Church and the saints tell us that the blood of Christ washes over the soul of the individual, and the blood of Christ cleanses them from sin whenever they go to confession. And the Eucharist, the bread and wine, have become the body and blood of Christ. You don't see the physical change, and yet you know in the inner reality that it's the Lord. It now becomes the true body, blood, soul, and divinity of Christ. So teach the children about the inner realities of the faith. And lastly, under grace comes not only praying for the child and the sacraments, but make use of the sacramentals of the faith. The sacramentals. This would be the enthronement of the Sacred Heart of Jesus in the home. It would also mean having holy water in the house. Get holy water, keep it around, bless. You know, when they're not in at night, you know, you can, if they're not in the afternoon, bless their room with holy water. You'll notice a big difference. And make sure you have a crucifix in the home. A statue of our Blessed Mother. The image of the Sacred and Immaculate Heart. having your house blessed. See, these things are all very important, making use of things like the Advent wreath and the other sacramentals of the faith. We've had wonderful results from kids wearing the miraculous medal or the brown scapular or the praying the rosary. Family rosary is such a beautiful thing. You know, Pope Pius IX said, if you had 1 million families praying the rosary every day, the whole world would be saved. Imagine that, how important it is, the family rosary. You might not be able to say the whole rosary with the kids. What about a decade? Could you pray a decade of the rosary every day with the children? So, to just wrap up and to summarize, these are 7 ideas to help your child to become a saint and to protect them from the evil influences. So again, make sure that becoming a saint is your goal, and if you have that as your goal, your kid too will pick up on that. Honor and respect between spouses and with their children, with your kids. Getting them involved in an apostolate and protect them from the evil influences of society. Try to promote the good aspects of the media and art and literature and music. And then try to be a greater influence in their lives, more than their friends, more than the media. Try to develop good habits of nature or self-discipline within the kids. And then realize that grace is the most important thing you can do for your children, is to pray that God will shower abundant graces upon them. So in your Masses and Holy Communion, make sure you're praying for an outpouring of God's grace within the soul of your child. Because most parents that I've talked to said, you know, we need God's help. And so parenting is a matter of grace. And probably the best advice I can give you is what an old Italian priest kept saying up in his homilies every Sunday in Philadelphia: do your best and God will do the rest. There's a lot of wisdom in that. If you're doing your very best, then God will do the rest. God bless you.